We have folks that listen to our messages from places all over the country and sometimes even outside of the country, and honestly, that humbles me. And a commitment that I have tried to keep to you as a church is that I would never get up here on a weekend and just wing it. Preaching ministry is unique in this way. It's always there. When you walk to your car after preaching on Sunday, before you get to your car, you're thinking about the next weekend. It's always on my mind. Sunday is always coming for a preacher. Sometimes trying to get work done up in my office is actually hard to do for me. People stop by and people chat, and that's okay, of course. Deliveries come to the church, phone calls and emails, and it all takes me away from working on my sermon. And I love it when I come into the office and no one's at church. No one stops by. I can get more done in 2 hours than I typically can in an entire day. And I was thinking about that last week, and it just hit me. Ministry is easy as long as you don't have to deal with people. It's people that make ministry so hard. That's kind of like a doctor saying that he would love medicine if it wasn't for all those sick people. If you never deal with people, you might think that you're doing ministry for Jesus, but you're not doing ministry like Jesus. It's something other than discipleship if it is not another discipleship. And with those words, I want to launch into a study that we will be in for several weeks. And our key text is going to be in John chapter 13. It's the night before Jesus is about to be murdered. And he knows that he is about to be murdered. So he gathers closest to him those that have been with him. And they are in an upper room. And they've gathered there for a meal. And he does an amazing, startling thing. He takes off his outer garments and he wraps himself in a towel and he kneels and starts to wash their feet, an act so demeaning that some of them even want to refuse and not let him. But he insists and he washes everybody's feet. And then he says something that is going to become the distinguishing foundation of his movement. In fact, if we don't get this, we don't get what Jesus is trying to accomplish. It's just two verses, and everything hinges on these words. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And you're thinking, Mike, can you do a whole sermon series on those two verses? We're going to stop before I'm through. And here's why. You must get serious about anothering if you're serious about Jesus. It's that simple. And we've all heard the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that is hard enough. But Jesus takes it up a notch and he gives what I'm going to call the platinum rule. Do unto others as I have done unto you. Now, implicit in that is the assumption that discipleship requires community. You can't do Jesus by yourself. That's why our whole goal as a church is to grow followers of Jesus. People that look like, act like, talk like, think like, talk like Jesus. The way that happens is through worship and community. And listen, the reason that community here is so important is because Jesus taught us that following him is a corporate undertaking. And, by the way, he did not pull a bait and switch. He did not bring you into the movement and say, oh, by the way, you have to do this with other people. 1 John 3:11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. This was the first moment in Christ. This was the first thing you were taught when you accepted Christ. From the beginning, Jesus says, if you're going to be a part of what I'm trying to do in the world, then here is 101. Love one another. He's not just offering another path. He is offering another path. This is why that phrase, one another, is going to be found over 90 times in the New Testament. Over 35 different verbs are going to be used with that little phrase. Serve one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Greet one another. Be kind to one another. Admonish one another. Pray for one another. Be gentle to one another. Instruct one another. The list goes on and on. You cannot not take anothering lightly if Jesus carries any weight in your life. And so, in this first sermon, I want us just to unpack those two critical foundational words of Jesus. What does it mean to love one another? What is this another love that he insists on? First thing, another love is non-negotiable. A new command I give you. We don't typically think of Jesus giving commands. Commands are for legalists. Now, please understand that Jesus came with more than commands, but he certainly didn't come with less. He did not say, a new suggestion I give to you, or I've got a new idea and I want to try it on you guys. Again, this has been taught from the start if you were taught Jesus well. 2 John verse 6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Josh Ross preaches in Memphis, Tennessee at the Sycamore View Church of Christ. And I heard him share one time that there was a man in his church who, after one of his sermons where he called on a certain kind of bigotry to be addressed, that this man came up to him and said, well, I just don't think I will ever be able to love those people. And Josh had a brilliant response. He asked him the question, have you been baptized? He said, yes. Well, you can't talk like that. And that's a good answer. Have you been baptized? Did you go public that Jesus is your Lord? Then you don't get to have sex however you want to have it. You don't get to spend your money however you want to spend it. You don't get to love whoever you feel like loving. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, and he is, then you don't get to pick which of his orders you are going to obey. And you can't really follow any command of Jesus if you don't follow the another command. And so Paul could say in Romans 13, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the universal moral absolute. It is always right to love. It is always wrong not to love. And if you are wrong on love, you can't be right with God. I like how 1 John 4 verse 21 reads from the Message. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. And not just with any kind of love. We've got to love with another love. Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And how does Jesus love? Well, now you're starting to get the idea of how this series could take literally the rest of my life. But if I'm going to pick one word to distinguish another love from all the other loves, it is this word. Another love is unconditional. Jesus' love was another kind of love because he did not love selectively or discriminately. Or to put it another way, he did not love based on the return he might get for the investment. And that is so different. Most of the loving that we do is because of love. There's something about you I deem lovely. And there's something about investing in you that brings me joy and happiness. And I'm getting something from this investment because of you. But what Jesus did was not because of love. He did in spite of love. And you don't see much of that. Most of the loving that goes on in the world rarely goes beyond minimum daily requirements. Because love is just too expensive to waste on bad investments. So we give a lot of thought to who we will love. Because love is costly. Love takes something from me. And so I try to spend my love shrewdly. You do too. And you need to know Jesus is decidedly unimpressed with this kind of loving. In Luke chapter 6 verse 32, he said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Listen, many Christians never practice loving beyond what a person without the Holy Spirit can do. Let that sink in. Many people claiming to follow Jesus rarely practice a loving that goes beyond what someone who doesn't even have the Holy Spirit can do. I'm wondering what qualifiers in the past you and I have put on our love. Some of us have put ethnic qualifiers on our loving. For others, it might be theological boundaries. Probably for all of us, we have put up some security walls from keeping us from getting hurt. Particularly if we have been hurt, we were very, very careful in the future, especially with that person, about investing, loving again. Love one another, he said. As I have loved you, you must love one another. You realize he said that just after he had washed Judas' feet. He was fully aware that Judas was complicit in his murder. And even if Judas had no appreciation for this act of love, and by the way, the scripture gives no indication that Judas was even remotely affected by what Jesus did. But that's okay, because Jesus knew his Father in heaven would be. It was, in Jesus' eyes, it was not a wasted investment to love Judas, because he was offering his love to God. He wasn't going to be one of these people that just reacts to other people with his love, but he was going to reflect to other people the love of God, because God doesn't love people because of who they are, but because of who he is. The Bible says he drenches everybody with his rain, the just and the unjust. Only another love could explain the cross. Again, from the Message, Romans 5:8, but God put his love on the line for us by offering his Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. I want to take a big burden off your shoulders right now. Isn't it exhausting trying to figure out who to love? Isn't it just tiring trying to decide if that person would be a good investment or not? You see, Jesus takes the burden off. He just says, love everybody. Just love everybody. No discriminating. And you know what? That's actually kind of liberating. Just loving people without conditions, even if they don't appreciate it. Because we know the Father in heaven does. And when we love without conditions, we model our convictions. Because you see, another love is irrefutable. What do I mean? Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now think about this. Through the centuries, we have tried to communicate that we are Jesus' disciples in many different ways. We've put on special collars. We've worn jewelry. We've put bumper stickers on our cars. And listen, I've seen the way some of you drive, and you probably ought to take that sticker off. We fought for the purity over our doctrine. And we have sought to practice a distinct purity in our lifestyle. And all of that is a good thing. We've tried to use educational and political institutions to bring about the agenda of the kingdom of Christ. And Jesus did not tell us that any of those things would make us known as his disciples. Later, in the same night, Jesus prayed these words. I pray that they will all be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and they may be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. Somehow, Jesus believed that the way we connect to each other communicates to the world, like nothing else, who he is. Or let me put it this way. When we try to leverage anything but love, we lose all our leverage. Jesus doesn't expect the world to recognize our doctrinal correctness or even our moral holiness. He knew they would recognize the stunning uniqueness of another love. Because this world is dying from relational viruses, and it notices relational health. This past week, I had an opportunity to meet one of my faith heroes in a private meeting. That's Josh McDowell. He's the author of evidence that demands a verdict and so many other amazing apologetics works. There are about a dozen of us pastors in this meeting. And do you know what his heart is focused on now as a 79-year-old man? It is fighting pornography. There are more people in our world viewing porn now than ever before. It is the absolute greatest threat to the church that we are facing, or that the church has ever faced. Most boys in America have seen a pornographic image by the time they are in kindergarten. Most girls by the time they are in second grade. More people, and I say people because it isn't just a guy problem, more people have a problem with porn now than ever before. I can still recall the very first pornographic image I ever saw. I was in first grade in Houston, Texas, and I stood behind a dumpster with another boy because we had found this dirty magazine. And we looked. And some of those images are still in my brain and in my psyche. See, the world does not see a problem with porn. It is normal to look at porn in the world. And you know what? The church isn't even talking about the very thing that is killing us. It's taking down marriages. It's taking down individuals. It's taking down families. Individuals are locked in a prison of always trying to find new satisfaction. The world is full of viruses that are killing relationships. And when we begin to show another love, it turns their head. They notice. The world doesn't care what you believe about evolution. They will not listen to you or read your Facebook posts about holiness. But you know what? Jesus gave the world the right to judge us on this issue. Do we love each other? The world is simply exercising a prerogative given by Jesus and his disciples based on our observable love for each other. Understand, I want you to take this home today. The way we another is the way we proclaim to the world that Jesus is a Savior like no other. So how are we doing? How are you doing? And how can we do better? We're going to spend time in this series talking about this very thing. I want you to stand up and I want to pray with you this morning.